You are officially tuned in to the Cultured Arcana podcast. My guest host tonight is...
My name is Lori. Hello.
And Lori and I are in the same room right now, so hopefully there won't be any weird feedback or anything that is a problem with the recording. Hopefully it'll go smooth. Lori, it's very nice to have you.
Thank you, and I just want to mention that Zach's headphones that I am borrowing right now are huge. His head must be very big because they do not fit my small head.
My head is huge because I have a lot of ideas.
Sure, sure.
They're always exploding out of my head.
You can say that.
Today we are going to talk about 1987's The Lost Boys, directed by Joel Schumacher, starring a variety of popular stars from the 1980s, including but not limited to both the Coreys, Haim and Feldman, Jason Patrick, Kiefer Sutherland, and Jamie Gertz as the love interest. Now, this is a movie that I haven't seen in at least 10 years, and I also think it's probably the first rated R movie I've ever seen in my entire life. How about you, Lori?
Probably mine, too. I mean, we were not even that old when this movie came out.
I was born in 82.
Well, so was I.
Yeah. And this came out in 87, so we would have been wee tykes.
Yes.
This is a movie that I remember my older cousins, especially the female ones, going crazy over because Jason Patrick and Kiefer Sutherland were so hot in it.
Yes, and now with all the vampire fangirls, such as myself, going gaga over Twilight and True Blood, you just gotta pay homage to the, you know, late 80s movies.
These things go in cycles. Vampires were popular 20 years ago, they're popular again today.
Who knows, maybe zombies will be hot.
Zombies never quite go away. They're always there, lurking around the corner, waiting for brains.
Brains.
Let's talk a little bit about the plot of the movie. We mentioned that it stars Corey Haim. He plays the younger brother. Jason Patrick plays the older brother. And they, along with their newly divorced mother, who is played by Diane Wiest, moved from Phoenix, Arizona to California, which I believe they moved to, like, this area of Southern California because it's warm and it's, like, rocky and there's an ocean and everything. Well, they moved there to live with their grandpa because their mother is newly divorced. And unfortunately, the town that they've moved to, which is named Santa Carla, which I believe is fictional, is referred to as the murder capital of the world.
They make that very apparent when they move in. It's all in spray-painted letters.
It's graffito-tagged on,
yes,
on the back of the Welcome to Santa Carla billboard. Maybe I should do that in my town. It would be utter false advertisement, though, because Naperville is like the yuppie capital of America.
You could put that.
That I could. That's true. Jason Patrick soon falls in with a crowd of unruly toughs, which are led by Kiefer Sutherland from 24. Hottie Jamie Gertz catches his interest, catches Jason Patrick's interest, as beautiful young women are wont to do. So soon Jason Patrick is following this gang, and he becomes one of them. Little does he know that he is slowly becoming a vampire. Well, his younger brother, again played by Corey Haim, begins to become paranoid about vampires after meeting the Frog Brothers, the proprietors of the local comic book shop, one of whom is played by Corey Feldman, the other one is played by some guy. So soon, Corey Haim realizes that his brother is becoming a vampire as well, and this scares him greatly, in a scene where he is wearing a bathrobe for like a half hour. For some reason. Meanwhile, the boys are dealing with their newly divorced mother dating a local townsman. He's a local businessman. He is their mom's new boss. And they begin to suspect that he is the head vampire, and hijinks ensue. And by the end of the movie, the brothers must face off against the vampire clan, and they must defeat the head vampire so that Jason Patrick can regain his humanity, as well as Jamie Gertz, so she can regain her humanity, and then some little boy who's in the movie wearing a band coat. Like one of those coats that guy from My Chemical Romance would be wearing. And we never quite figured out why he was dressed thusly.
Or why he was there to begin with.
Why he was there to begin with, yeah. You do see him on the back of a milk carton at the end of, at the end of one particular scene, like a little shocking thing, like, oh my God, that's the little boy from earlier. But we don't know who this kid is, let alone where he came from, or if his parents are even still alive or anything like that. So there's not really an emotional attachment there. The kid's just really annoying.
Yes.
I think that movies tend to have the really annoying young character in there, and that really pisses me off. What should we talk about first with this movie, Lori?
Wow, there's so much. How about we go into Marco?
Marco, played by Alex Winter.
A.K.A. Ted from Bill and Ted.
He is the fruitiest looking vampire ever.
Yes. He's even fruitier than Edward.
He's
from the Twilight series.
He's 10 times fruitier than Edward.
Yes, he is. I mean, he doesn't sparkle, but come on.
He's got this really ridiculous curly hair. Oh, his hair is so atrocious. It's like 1987 crapped all over his head.
And at one point, I think he's even wearing a belly shirt. A belly shirt!
He's wearing a fucking belly shirt. It, with a big giant leather coat around it, like Matrix-style leather coat around it.
We were so glad that he was the first to die.
Yes, he gets, staked. He gets staked right through the fucking heart, and he bleeds horribly over everybody, and it's actually quite a terrifying scene in a lot of ways. Because if you think about it, there's like these 12-year-old kids staking vampires. It's kind of intense.
Yes.
But he's the first to die, and we were so glad because we were really tired of looking at him. And when you look on the cover of the DVD, like his face is in the background, and it's the creepiest face. It looks like he's going to rape someone. He's got his rape face on. Oh, it's awful.
Uh-huh. Horrible.
And his name is Marco.
And then every time they say Marco, you just want to be like, Polo.
Polo. Polo. So some of the vampires in the vampire gang have ridiculous names. What we say the one guy's name was?
Greg or Jason? It was some normal name that did not seem threatening at all.
Yeah, it was totally, totally stupid. Greg.
Greg, yeah.
Greg the vampire.
And then what, you had David.
David.
Kiefer
Sutherland. Laddie.
Laddie.
Yes, Laddie.
That was the little boy.
Laddie was the little boy.
And then when he turns into the vampire, he looks like Chucky.
Yeah, he does. He looks like Chucky from the Chucky movies. God, what are those movies called?
Child's Play.
Child's Play, yeah. That's what he looks like. He looks like that. It's creepy. And he's roughly the same size and shape as the Chucky doll, too.
Yes, yes.
Oh, isn't that so weird? Like, you brought this up earlier, and I thought that you were, like, dead on. That there was, like, a 5-year period where vampires were distinguished by, like, having really weird foreheads.
Yeah, it's like in Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yeah, it's totally off-putting. I'm glad they don't do that anymore.
Yeah, like, the vampires now, True Blood, Twilight, they all look normal. They just have the teeth that, like, you know, retract and come out.
And what's the deal with Corey Feldman's voice in this movie?
Yes, it sounds like, what do we say, smokes, like, 15 packs of cigarettes a day.
Yeah, it's ridiculously deep. He's, like, 12 years old, and he sounds like Peter Cullen, the voice of Optimus Prime.
Yes.
His voice is super deep.
It just sounds like he's forcing it, though, like, to make him sound cooler.
Which I'm sure that he was. He was very image conscious, I bet.
Yes, yes. At least, especially with the feathered hair and all that.
At least he's not wearing a members-only jacket in this movie.
No, but that would have made it cooler, I think.
Yeah, probably. Probably. I mentioned that when we were watching it, these kids are running around with these ridiculous army canteens.
Yes.
And how I had one when I was a kid.
Because everyone was obsessed with G.I. Joe.
I think that every kid that grew up in the late 80s had one of those.
Yeah, the camo ones that, like, you know, you wore like a purse.
Yes, yes, yes. I definitely had one.
With your Huffy bike?
Yes, but at least my Huffy bike wasn't painted a ridiculous pink and gold color.
Like Corey Haim's.
Oh, let's talk about Corey Haim's atrocious wardrobe.
Okay, we start in and he's wearing like fruity Hawaiian shirts.
Like a Bugle Boy Hawaiian shirt.
Yes.
I'm so glad that Bugle Boy is no longer popular. I don't think I could deal with it if it still was.
All those, like, the hyper colors?
Yes.
Ugh.
Again, it looks like 1987 just took a crap all over this movie.
Yes, it vomited.
Yes, definitely. And his hair. His hair is done up in, like, a pompadour. He looks like Brian Setzer.
Yeah, yeah. Even Marco, you know, our Alex Winters, you know, Ted, who we hate, had, like, the Brian Setzer look, too.
It was ridiculous. I guess Stray Cats were popular in 87.
I think they were.
Who knew?
And this was before Brian Setzer Orchestra.
Yeah, it was. Before he became respectable with Brian Setzer Orchestra. Yes. They're actually very talented. But wow, the fashion of this movie is ridiculous. I mentioned at one point that the vampire gang looks like they could be the opening act for Poison or Motley Crue.
You had, like, the leather jackets, and one of the vampires even looked like he was going to go fox hunting.
Yeah, he was wearing, like, knee-high boots, and what'd you say, he had, like, a tuck coat on or something?
Like, the tail coat, yeah. And then that hair, oh, the atrocious hair of everybody.
Oh, my God. I like the way that Kiefer Sutherland simultaneously has a mullet and a spike.
Yes.
Isn't that weird?
And it's white, platinum blonde.
Like Rucker Hauer in Blade Runner.
Though, his scruff on his face is dark.
Yes.
The, you know, the contrast, just off-putting, but he's still hot, I do have to say that.
The carpet doesn't match the drapes.
No, it does not.
We talked about how, while we were watching this, about how this is rated R, but there's very little gore, no nudity, very little cursing.
I think they just say one swear. It's shit.
The sex scene was basically just cuddling, and it was way too intimate way too intimate for the leads, considering the leads are supposed to be like high school seniors or something, and they look like they're having the sex that like 40-year-olds would have.
Yeah, they wouldn't be making love.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Would we say that it would be like embarrassing 2 minutes and then it would be over and then...
You'd like sleep on opposite sides of the bed like, oh God! What did I just do?
I think it may be the tamest R rating. This and The Matrix. I talked about that before. Like, why is The Matrix rated R?
Yeah, there's nothing in there.
Exactly. This has got to be the tamest R rating. And when this came out, like they had just like PG-13 had been around for like 2 or 3 years. I don't understand why it's not PG-13.
Well, for today's standards, it would be PG-13.
Yeah, you go back and you watch some of those movies from the early '80s, like 16 Candles, which has nudity in it in the F word, and Raiders of the Lost Ark, and movies like that, which are like really intense and they're rated PG. That's kind of funny. This movie's rated R. Came out roughly the same time.
It shouldn't be a rated R rating.
It's also funny that the characters keep trying to insult Jason Patrick by calling him his character's name.
Michael.
Like, that is supposed to be an insult or something. It doesn't make any sense.
Michael.
Like, why would he be insulted? They're just calling him his name.
Damn it, stop calling me my name. I know what my name is.
Why is there a year-long carnival going on in this town?
Because it's 1987.
It's like they have the New Jersey boardwalk, only in California.
Yeah, Coney Island or something.
Something like that.
But we were mentioning right at the beginning, all of the people that you saw on this boardwalk were like either goths or punks or freaks or something.
I know. I wish I walked around today and everybody was something instead of just normal people.
Yeah.
People had like ridiculous pink mohawks, and there was a girl walking with like a one-piece swimsuit on for no reason whatsoever.
Oh, we were talking about her butt, yeah.
Yeah. And how about the scene where the guy's trying to make out with the girl, but she's reading comics?
Yes, he's trying to score, and she's reading this comic. She slaps him in his face!
It was a sad sack comic.
Yes, it was! Needless to say, those are the two first people to die.
Kiefer Sutherland is kind of a badass.
Yeah, he is. For as far as like vampires with shoulder pads go.
Yeah, he eats maggots and worms, well, or at least Jason Patrick thinks they are. Yeah. That scene always creeped me out when I was a kid.
Well, what'd you say was the power of suggestion?
Yeah, how sometimes vampires have limited psychic powers. Which brings us to, how does this film fit in with the common vampire lore?
Which in some ways it does break normal lore, like St. Patrick, Jamie Gertz, and the little kid can go outside during the daytime.
Because they're half vampires.
Yeah.
Like the whole concept of the half vampire is kind of new to me. I never really heard that before.
No, you always had to be bitten by a vampire, then, like, you had to suck their blood, and then you were a vampire. There was no half, you know, vampire crap.
The regular rules should still apply, then, in most things. Like, sunlight should hurt them, is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not where you just need sunglasses and you sleep a lot.
Probably the most common, the one that's most known to me is probably from the Blade movies. Where the vampires, like, explode when the sunlight hits them.
Oh, yeah. Well, Kiefer Sutherland caught on fire.
Yeah, he did, because he was a full vampire.
Yeah. And then he cried for some reason, but okay.
Because it was probably the first time he felt pain in, like, hundreds of years or something. That's what I thought, anyway.
Oh, God.
Or, you know, his friend just died, too.
Oh, Marco. Yay! Yeah.
We talked about how all these vampires are dressed like badasses, but they sure do go down like pussies.
Yeah.
What'd we say, squirt guns?
Squirt guns with holy water, like old school squirt guns.
Yeah, 80s squirt guns. So we're not even talking super soakers here.
No, yeah, the little puny, the green ones, the green plastic ones. The one guy died by rock and roll.
Yes, death by stereo.
Yes, and Kiefer Sutherland died with antlers.
Yeah, he gets impaled by like deer antlers or elk antlers or whatever the hell they were.
The only one who actually, like, really dies of, you know, real death is Margo. He gets staked.
The other guy falls into the holy water bath.
Yes.
That was kind of freaky.
Well, because then you see, like, his skeleton and all that.
Yeah, it was pretty good makeup work.
Yeah, for back then.
Talked about how this film employs a very minimal use of special effects and how they're effective because of that.
It still works, though. The very little amount that they use, it still gets its point across. Like, you didn't really see the vampires killing everybody, but you got this sense of like, oh crap, something's happening.
The only real time I think where you see them feed is when they attack the surfer Nazis.
Oh yes, over when Run DMC is playing.
Yeah, why would Nazis be listening to Run DMC?
Yeah, I don't know.
That doesn't make
Maybe
sense.
Maybe because it was Aerosmith? I don't know.
I guess.
Nazis then were different from Nazis now? I don't know.
Apparently. Or just they added the music in post-production and no one gave a shit anymore.
And this movie had to have the awesome 80s soundtrack.
Oh, God. The soundtrack for this movie, if you took like one song from every single popular 80s music, 80s movie, and put them in this movie, that's basically what you'd have.
Except you didn't have the romantic love song while they were having sex.
At least not until the end credits.
No, which that made absolutely no sense.
And it didn't make any sense at all, you're right. We said this movie was rated R for subtle homosexuality.
It wasn't very subtle, it was kind of blatant.
Corey Haim has this big, like, semi-nude poster of Rob Lowe hanging in his room.
Lifting his shirt up so you can see, like, his six-pack. This would be something I would have in my bedroom in the 80s from my Tiger Beat magazine, not Corey Haim.
I told you that when I was a kid, one of my friends had a poster of Jonathan Brandis hanging up in his room. Jason Patrick and Corey Haim are awfully close for brothers, too.
Yes, they're all touchy-feely with their faces.
It's weird.
No.
My brothers and I, we don't touch like that.
Yeah, I don't touch like that with my sisters, but still.
That's weird.
Yes.
So are the vampires in Lost Boys gayer than the Twilight vampires?
I would say they are.
I think they are, too.
I mean, they don't sparkle or anything like that, but I'm not seeing Edward and Jasper, you know, getting all gay on each other, so.
No matter how much I would like to see that, it doesn't happen.
Yeah, me too.
Jamie Gertz was cute.
Yes, she was.
Really cute.
And then she ended up on that really bad UPN TV show.
She still has that same weird New Jersey voice in
this
movie, which she's known for.
But it's still kind of cute, though.
Yeah, she's cute to look at.
Yeah, and she's got the big 80s hair that kind of makes her look like Elizabeth Berkley from Saved by the Bell.
Kind of, yeah. She's cute. You know what? Jamie Gertz is cuter than the girl in Twilight.
Oh, definitely.
What's that?
Kristen Stewart?
Kristen Stewart,
like,
yeah.
She's on heroin.
Kristen Stewart looks angry all the time.
Yes. Definitely not a Bella person.
She looks like, someone just said something offensive to her. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
She, like, the reaction face. She always looks disgusted.
Like, Edward would say, I love you. She'd be like, oh, really? What?
Exactly.
Yeah. No.
That's exactly what she looks like to me. Oh, boy. What else can we talk about? I hate Marco.
Yes. Marco is definitely the point of this movie that we hate. Everything about him. His voice, his actions, his face.
We talked a little bit about how we would like to live in the town that this movie was set in.
Yeah, like with a carnival. That would be kind of cool. Someplace to hang out.
There was like an eternal party going on.
And then they had the old-fashioned video store. No one has video stores anymore.
At least not mom-and-pop video stores.
No.
There's still plenty of shitty blockbusters and family videos, but none of the good old mom-and-pop stuff.
Where you could hang out and watch movies there.
And play arcade games.
Yes.
Yeah, I missed that. We used to have those in my hometown when I was a kid. They used to have, like, the 5 movies, 5 days for $5.
Yes, yes.
But then, like, the movie that you wanted was never in because somebody would have it for 5 fucking days. I kind of miss those days.
Let's see, we were talking about, like, what happened to anybody in this film.
Yeah.
You know, all the 80s films, you hear about people. The only person that really actually made it was Kiefer Sutherland.
Yeah, because of 24.
And I mean, well, what was Jamie Gertz? She was on that show.
Yeah, she was on Still Standing.
Yeah.
Which was on, I think, for 4 years.
But still, that's something. I mean, what, you have Ted and the other vampire. I don't even know who he was. Well, the Haims, you know, they kind of came into, you know, their reality show and all that.
That reality show was sad.
Yeah.
It was like, look at me, I was famous 20 years ago, and now my life is a complete disaster.
But Corey Feldman at least still looks the same.
He does. Corey Feldman looks good. Corey Haim looks like he's done more coke than, I don't know.
Okay.
Robert Evans? Yeah, Robert Evans, that
yes.
guy. Yeah, he looks like he's done more coke than Robert Evans. And now Robert Evans is going to sue me.
And then so is Corey Haim.
Corey Haim could use the money.
Defamation of character.
I wish that Corey Feldman would get his career revived, like, a la David Caruso in, like,
yes.
some cop procedural or something.
They'd be like, NCIS.
NCIS.
Illinois.
Santa Carla.
Yes. Why isn't there a Chicago, like, Law and Order? God damn it.
There was that show with Patrick Swayze, but he passed away, so they never...
Oh, The Beast, yeah.
Yeah, I think that was set in Chicago.
Was it? I didn't know.
Yeah,
that.
A lot of those cop shows in the 1980s were set in Chicago because they were made by Michael Mann, and he was a Chicago guy.
Okay.
Crime Story. I think one other one as well, but I don't know the name of it off the top of my head. I have to look it up. But yeah, nowadays, there's nothing. It is kind of sad.
Yeah.
Get on that, Mayor Daley. How about it?
I mean, we got Rod Blagojevich, we got Roland Burris. Come on.
Yeah, really, there's plenty.
We didn't get the Olympics. Come on.
Come on. There's plenty of controversy in Chicago. Come on, William Peterson. Get over here and make a TV show. Come on. You can produce it, Jerry Bruckheimer. We wanted to see CSI Chicago. I mean, all the other CSIs are god-awful anymore, so New York was never good.
No.
No, it was awful.
Me and Zach can star in it, and it'd be a great TV show.
Yes. Occasional guest acting appearance from Jason Patrick, and we're good to go.
Yes.
Because whatever happened to him, he was really handsome in this movie.
And then we Wikipedia'd him, and there was a picture from 2004 on, oh my god, did he let himself go.
He looks really different.
He's like half bald and
He was in Speed 2.
Was he?
Yeah.
That was the one with the boat.
Yeah, it was awful.
Yeah, I don't think I saw that one, thank god.
Yeah. We should talk about Joel Schumacher.
Yes. And if nobody hasn't seen it, he did Batman and Robin with George Clooney.
He's made a lot of terrible, terrible movies. I don't know how he keeps getting work. But
all I can think about is Batman and Robin.
He's very obviously a homosexual, not that there's anything wrong with that.
No.
But he brings this certain level of high camp to any film that he directs. And because of that, it makes the film look or appear to be very flashy, style over substance. Some parts of it are like overly directed. He brings this weird sense of high camp to anything he directs, and that's definitely present in some scenes in Lost Boys.
Well, yeah, you got the bright colors, and we said that Corey Haim basically looks like a lesbian.
He does. It's the hair. What about when they were walking along the boardwalk and there were all those weird giant puppet heads in the background?
Yeah, those were creepy. Those reminded me of the one scene in Batman and Robin where, like, they had, like, that rave and...
Right.
Yeah, they were all, like, glow-in-the-dark kind of raver people, like the motorcycle gang. Reminded me exactly like that.
Yeah, that's definitely a Joel Schumacher touch.
But then you said he was a fashion designer or something like that when we looked him up.
Yeah, yeah. I thought that he was a music video director. I still contend that he's directed music videos before, but according to his Wikipedia page, he was a fashion designer before he became a film director.
Which is apparent with Corey Haim's, fashion.
I mean, I'm looking at this picture of Joel Schumacher right now, and it's like the fruitiest looking picture. The guy is 70 years old, and he looks like he's getting ready to go inside his Studio 54 the way he's dressed. He directed Phone Booth, which I think is underrated, A Time to Kill, and The Client, both John Grisham adaptations. I'm a big
The Client was really good.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of that. I
and that wasn't like, in any way like Lost Boys or Batman and Robin.
Very, 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 very different films.
Yeah.
He directed 8mm with Nicolas Cage.
Okay.
Nicolas Cage is the best worst actor.
Yes. Like Keanu Reeves.
Right.
Keanu Reeves is like the emotionless wonder.
Yeah, like, well, Morpheus, and so forth.
Yes, I'm Constantine.
that movie sucked, I'm sorry.
Yes, it did.
It was not good. It has Shia LaBeouf in it, or however you say his name.
Yes.
Do you remember when Shia LaBeouf was on that sitcom on the Disney Channel?
Even Stevens, oh my god.
That was a good show.
It was!
Whatever happened to the girl that played his sister, she was cute.
She went to Broadway.
She was on Broadway?
Yeah.
Was she also the voice of...
She's Kim Possible.
Kim Possible, right.
Yes. Right. But she went on to be like Belle from Beauty and the Beast in actual Broadway.
I could see her as doing that.
Yeah. She was cute.
Yeah, she was very cute. I think we've exhausted everything.
I know. But like, even this movie is very, very short for time, now our standards. It was only like 97 minutes. So about an hour and a half, which was, I guess, long back then.
We should talk a little bit about how our perceptions of this film changed from when we first saw it to now, because I remember being a kid and being terrified by this movie. Like the scene with the maggots and the worms.
Well, and with me, it was when Kiefer Sutherland, ripped like the guy's brains out.
The surfer Nazi?
Yeah.
And now you look at that scene and there's really not a lot of gore there.
No, you thought you overemphasized that when you were a kid, like, oh my god, I can't believe I just saw that. And now you're like, oh, really? I've seen worse on the news.
I still contend that the scene where they stake Alex Winter is really horrifying.
Well, yeah, like Corey Feldman gets covered in blood, and it's just gross.
But yeah, there are still some parts of this film that are somewhat scary.
Well, yeah, like, definitely I would say where they're eating their brains and you see all that blood and everything. Maybe there would have been, like, The Lost Boys 2. Or was there?
There was, but it was direct-to-video and it came out, like, last year, so it was probably terrible.
Okay, yeah. No, there would have been, like, a better Lost Boys 2. Maybe they would have gotten, like, you know, what's his name? Ralph Macchio to be the other Fog brother.
There was a script written for a Lost Boys 2 where Kiefer Sutherland's character actually survived, but it was never produced.
Huh.
Yeah.
That might have been interesting, like, you know, now that he's Jack Bauer and all that.
You know what my favorite vampire movie is?
What is it?
Shadow of the Vampire.
My favorite is probably Bram Stoker's Dracula.
That's a good one.
Yes, with Gary Oldman?
Yes.
Gary Oldman was hot. He still's hot, but whatever. Not when he's like Commissioner Gordon, because then he just looks like Ned Flanders, and he kind of looks like my dad, so it's kind of creepy. But no, Gary Oldman is hot.
But this movie's kind of cool. I enjoyed it.
Oh, yes, I did too. Especially like revisiting it. I didn't haven't watched it since, you know, way back when, and then rewatching it with you. We made fun of the whole movie the whole time.
But we still enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah. It was one of those, God, that was just horrible.
We made fun of it because it's hilariously dated.
Yes.
Like the fashion.
Yes.
And the culture.
Yes.
It's like watching this movie, everything would be current, like in Germany right now or something. some country where they're like still 10 or 15 years behind America.
Oh my God, Lost Boys! Ah!
Like, I bet if I was to like walk through downtown Manila in the Philippines, I would see people dressed up like this. But we should go ahead and cult or can this. What do you say, Lori?
I would cult this.
You're going to cult it?
Yes, I would.
What's your reason for that?
My reason is because this is like your quintessential 80s horror film. You got the awesome music, the montages with the music. You have the great cast, cheesy, but yes, it's great. The cheesy fashion, the horrible acting. I mean, it makes just a great 80s movie. And you got to throw vampires in there. I just freaking love vampires.
I agree with you. I'm going to call it this as well. I think you're right. I think that the cast is awesome. The cast is what makes this movie. Corey Feldman as Edgar Frog. It was always a favorite of mine as a kid. And going back and watching it now, he's still one of my favorites because it's just a funny
yes.
thing. Like a 15-year-old kid who knows all this stuff about vampires and is going to hunt them. Jason Patrick is surprisingly not terrible. I thought going back and watching this, because everybody makes fun of Jason Patrick. Like he's like a big joke. Going back and watching it, I was actually surprised that his performance was actually pretty good. Corey Haim is really the only weak part of the movie for me.
Yeah. He looks like a 13-year-old little boy, and he can't really act. I don't know where he got famous.
I don't know either. I really honestly don't know because he's terrible.
Yeah.
But pretty much everybody else is good, except for Marco.
Yeah, Marco sucked.
So I'm going to cult this one as well.
Yay.
I enjoyed this film a lot. I haven't seen this film in 10 years, and then I probably hadn't seen it for another 10 years earlier than that. Like I said, this is probably the first rated R movie I ever saw.
Yeah.
And it's a really soft R. It really is.
I'm giving it PG-13.
Yeah, oh, if it came out today, it would definitely be PG-13.
Yeah.
But it also, if it came out today, there would be, like, stupid MTV-style editing and bad CGI effects. And
you'd have boobies and stuff like that, so.
Yeah, which would then bump it up to an R.
Yeah.
I like that. The minimal use of special effects is really effective. There's no stupid CGI. There's no, like, ridiculous wire kung fu stuff going on. You know that would be in there nowadays.
Yeah.
There's nothing like that. It's very practical and very minimal and very effective. Probably Joel Schumacher's best movie.
Probably, yeah.
If someone held a gun to my head and asked me, I would say, yeah, definitely. All right, we've both culted this movie. Lori, I've had a great time with you as being a friend of the podcast.
And I've had a great time with you too, Zach.
I hope that you'll come back for future installments.
Definitely.
So if you'd like to check us out, we're on the interweb at http://cultedorcanit.blogspot.com. Please leave us some recommendations or leave us some feedback. Our email is on there as well. We have an iTunes feed, so please click on our RSS link. You can follow iTunes, and it will update weekly when I update the podcasts. So thank you for listening, and
thank you.
We hope that you have a better one.